And with me in the KRVS studios is Jennifer Ritter Guidry with the Center for Louisiana Studies, here to talk about their Backyard series, which is a monthly series at Vermilionville that presents a different topic and discussion every month. This month, tomorrow evening at Vermilionville, the topic is Healing Traditions of South Louisiana, Les Traditions de Guérison du Sud de la Louisiane. And I know there's a lot of people very interested in that topic. You've had one before. It might have been
the very first one, yes.
And that was quite popular.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you start something new and you don't know how many people are going to show up to your event, it's always very reassuring when you have over 50 people and you're having to turn the lights off on them because they're enjoying themselves so much that they don't want to leave. So
at the end of the evening.
Yeah. So it was a great kickoff to the Backyard series back in 2009. And since we're changing the format of it after the December of this year, we thought we would bring it back one last time and, you know. Mm-hmm. Just look
let
at
those
it
people
again.
Who couldn't stay at the end come back and continue
right.
their discussion.
Right, and mm-hmm. and you know, and there's some new information that has been discovered. Dr. Ray Bresser, who was a speaker back in January of 2009, will be joining us again tomorrow night, and he's been doing some research in with plants and curative properties, so he'll have some new information to share about that. And then Becca Beckno will also be joined by Rebecca Henry, and they're both healers, but one's from the Cajun community, one's from the Creole community. So it'll be a very interesting discussion tomorrow night.
Yeah, so lots of different areas of healing. Ray is a cultural anthropologist mm-hmm. and is a professor here at the university, but has been teaching classes and working with a lot of students and doing research, as you said, into some of these plants, and both historical research and I guess current
right.
research. So he'll be there. And so tell us a bit about what Becca and Rebecca do. How do they incorporate healing in their lives?
Well, they are professionals in their own rights. Their healing is kind of it's not the main thing that they do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just something that they believe very strongly in and that they were called to through their religion, through their family connections. And it serves as a way for them to better preserve their family's historical knowledge and traditions and things like that and pass them on to other generations. And I think, if I may speak for them, that it brings them closer to their faith and to other people in a way that you wouldn't on a different level than you would normally you know, engage in socially.
Right. And some people may want to know, would they call themselves traiteurs?
Well, you'll have to ask them tomorrow night mm-hmm. because some people are comfortable calling themselves that. Some people are comfortable with other, you know, designations and things like that. And it's best to ask the ladies mm-hmm. themselves how they prefer to be referred to. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, in the first program, which you all did in 2009, what were some of the main interests people had in coming to this program and in asking questions? What were they most keenly interested in?
A lot of people were interested in the how it was handed down generationally. And typically it's handed down and it alternates gender. So a grandfather would pass the knowledge down to his daughter, and that daughter would then pass it down to her son or, you know, some other male in the family. And I'm not sure how closely the bloodline needs to be. Some, you know, some say it's direct, you know, a direct line from one person to the next. Sometimes it's kind of spread out through the family. But typically they also focus on one healing or treatment. So it may be sunstroke or wart removal or earache.
They're specialists.
Right. Mm-hmm. They kind of specialize. Mm-hmm. They do not accept payment for their services, but they do accept gifts mm-hmm. of different sorts. So mm-hmm. it's very interesting, and it's very tied into the religion and the faith and prayer. And we'll learn so much more about it tomorrow night. I really don't mm-hmm. want to give too much away.
Well, right. But it's kind of interesting to know what people are interested in mm-hmm. when they think of healers or traiteurs. Different things come into our heads, and everyone
right.
has different questions and interests.
Right. And well, and now Vermilionville has the Healing Garden. So right. that mm-hmm. is a really great, like, you know, classroom out there on hand that we can go and look at. and pull plants from and look and discuss, you know, how they were used in conjunction with some of these the Traiteur's methods, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. it was, you know, not just faith and praying, but also these home remedies that were utilized to cure people of various ailments.
Right. And now, along with the Healing Garden, I know, I'm sure with the efforts of Ray Bresser and others, Richard Guidry for mm-hmm. collecting all of these names and stories, you all have created this lovely little brochure, well, at Vermilionville, yeah. they have, which allow people to look up the different plants
right.
and the different properties of those plants. So it's not just all hearsay, it's being written down.
It is being
recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And we have, you know, our archival collection does include Pat Rickles' collection, and she has an extensive amount of information on folk remedies and healing traditions. So, and we have barely even begun to explore her collection.
And that's at the Center for Louisiana Studies.
Correct.
The collection. So she, over her time here at UL as a professor of English and folklore, mm-hmm. collected stories over several decades.
Correct.
Around this area.
She collected stories, and then she charged her students to also go out and do and conduct field work. And so her collection is not just her research, but her students' work as well.
So there's lots more mining to be done in her work.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned, mm-hmm. it's about 40 years worth of research and documentation that we have. And mm-hmm. it's one of our newer collections. And so we're just now starting the process of getting it into the digitizing phase. But it's available for people to come and dig through.
So anyone interested in researching that or doing studies, that's an option to contact the Center for Louisiana Studies and find out more about their yeah. their archives and what they have there. That's tomorrow evening at Vermilionville, mm-hmm. Healing Traditions of South Louisiana. And as always, it is a free program.
Absolutely.
Anyone can go. Do you think this is something young people might be interested in as well?
Well, you know, considering over the years how many students have come in asking for information about Traiteurs, I think that there is definitely an interest in the younger generations. It used to be just something that the older people mm-hmm. remembered and referred back to and believed in, and the younger people were skeptical and didn't really trust that it worked until they had a direct experience with it. My sister-in-law actually told me recently of an experience she had while she was at work, and someone came up to her. He knew she wasn't feeling well, mm-hmm. and asked her if he could pray over her. And she didn't see the harm in it, and she felt as he was praying over her whatever bad feeling she had and wasn't it left her. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it takes that direct experience to change people's minds. But I think now we're entering in, you know, a kind of more open-mindedness about these kinds of things and mm-hmm. and really celebrating the connections between faith and culture.
Well, an open-mindedness and simply an interest in a folklore among
yeah.
young people. They're very interested in folklore, urban gardening, sustainable
yeah.
living. All of that, I guess, comes into play, that interest in what did people do in the past? What did they use? How did they sustain and create their lives from what they could grow and manufacture themselves?
Right. And you know, and then just accessibility to healthcare as well.
Right.
You know, you didn't have a doctor down the road. You didn't have a CVS or a Walgreens that you could mm-hmm. just run over to and pick up some Tylenol or whatever.
Go to your garden or the woods.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to forage around whatever you had it on hand and, you know, whatever your neighbors may have been able to contribute.
Right, and there does just seem to be a resurgence of interest in that. So any age is welcome to go.
Absolutely.
Families can attend the program.
Absolutely. We pride ourselves on making the Backyard Series family-friendly and open to everyone in the community. We encourage you all to come out and bring your questions, bring your experiences. We open the doors around 6 o'clock, and food is available for purchase. And around 6:30, we start the evening, and we encourage a dialogue between the speakers and the audience. It's not a straight academic presentation, reading from PowerPoint slides or anything like that. It's a real conversation, and we really want to engage the audience in that conversation.
Well, and I'm sure sharing stories like you just did about your sister-in-law,
right.
people have many stories like that, and this is a good forum, a good mm-hmm. Place to bring those stories and either ask questions of the presenters or just of the audience
yeah.
And share those things. those stories and experiences. So everyone listening now is invited to attend. That's tomorrow evening at Vermilionville in the Performance Center.
Yes.
So 6 o'clock, the doors open, and then the presentation at 6:30. Mm-hmm. Some people may be very interested in the first one you did. Were you all videotaping then? Do you have a record of that very first
we
one?
We did videotape. We have been documenting the entire Backyard series, and we do have edited versions of the Backyard series dating back to 2009. Our production quality was not the best in the beginning. We had a few bumps in the road with lighting and audio issues and things like that, but we do have it in one form. It's either in video or audio format for the first year. It's not always great for both, but we do have that available.
All right. So you can check out the archives at the Center for Louisiana, go to the Center for Louisiana Study.
Yes.
Or
just come visit us, and we can help you pull up that material and get you situated at a workstation where you can either view it on the computer or listen to it through headphones.
And enjoy that discussion. That was back in 2009, your very first program of the Backyard series. And you can attend the one tonight tomorrow evening. Sorry about that. Tomorrow evening. And either add to your knowledge that you gained the first time, or as Jennifer said, you can listen to it at the Center for Louisiana Studies and attend the one tomorrow evening. Will there be time to view the Healing Garden tomorrow night? I know that's not really a focus of the evening.
There won't be any guided tours of the garden, but the sun is still up fairly late, and so you're welcome to go out to the garden. It's not far
just
from the Performance
program.
Center, and check it out beforehand. I'll see if I can get some brochures available at the sign-in desk as well.
All right. So those brochures are lovely photographs of the plants and a write-up in French and English.
I believe it's bilingual, yes.
So great little item to have, whatever your interests are in healing plants and healing traditions. That will be at Vermilionville tomorrow evening, 6:30. But if you'd like to check out the garden, you can go just a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, what do you have for the fall? What programs are coming up in the fall?
Well, we've got a lot of really exciting topics. Next month, we're doing Louisiana basketry traditions, and we'll have Debbie Clifton from the Lafayette Science Museum serving as moderator. And I'm working on confirming members from several Louisiana tribes to join us and discuss their specific tribes' basket weaving patterns. Some use palmetto, some use pine needles. And so it'll be a really interesting comparison of traditions and methods of woven goods, and really what they symbolize for those tribes. And then in October, we're doing Pascal storytelling with Barry Osselet, Mitch Reed, and some of the members of his family. And that'll be a really fun kickoff to Festivals Acadien Week. So we encourage people to come out and join us for that one. I know it's going to be very entertaining. And then in November, we're partnering with Mark DeWitt and the traditional music program and doing a showcase of their traditional music ensembles. And so I think we've got just about all of their instructors on board for that as well. And then in December, as usual, we will be doing a cooking evening demonstration. We're going to pair it with beer this time around, and I think it's going to be a most enjoyable event.
So put that on your calendar. Yeah. It is on the second Tuesday of the
month. Yes.
And you can just mark that down and head to Vermilionville and find out more about the culture and enjoy yourself as well. Yeah. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Jennifer Ritter Guidry with the Center for Louisiana Studies talking about the Backyard series. The next presentation is tomorrow night at Vermilionville, the healing tradition of South Louisiana. Doors open at 6 and the program starts at 6:30. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Judith.